You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. We are back. We are doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. We have a special guest here today as we return, Austin Gale, the director of content from Pro Football Focus, because guess what? Wednesday is the day that the big project finally comes out. It's a giant undertaking. I know that a lot of you probably aren't thinking like, oh yeah, it's a podcast about Aiden Hutchinson. That's a giant undertaking, but this was. Austin, thanks for joining us again, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to finally launch this podcast. It's been a lot of work, a lot of effort, but we're excited to push it through.
So since we last talked, when you were kind of starting the process, because last time we talked, I think we talked in the morning and then you interviewed me in the evening.
That's right.
Part of it. But that was when the process was just starting. So tell me a little bit about what made this such an arduous project to take on?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was, you know, I've talked to so many people about Aiden Hutchinson, right? I've talked to over 50 people, media, draft analysts, former teammates, former coaches, and it's just been really impressive. His family, right? His mom, his sisters, his dad, and it's been really impressive to just see how consistent, right? How consistent everyone's view of him is. Like Jim Brandstatter, Dan Dierdorf, John Jansen, Jim Harbaugh, Don Brown, like all these different people that have in one way, shape, or form been impacted by Aiden or worked with Aiden, coached Aiden, played with Aiden, all have the same take in that he's just insane. He's an insane athlete, insane measurables, the culture that he's going to have, you know, the culture he brings. He's a culture changer, a leader, a high character, high motor. And everyone says the same thing, man. It's been the same too since he was 5 years old when he was dancing with his sisters, right? Uber competitive, wants to have fun, wants to be engaging. It's been a crazy project. And do all those interviews, right? And then sit down with him and talk to him about this project and talk to him about, you know, all the things that he's gone through as a kid and his high school experience and recruitment to Michigan. We went game by game on what was one of the coolest seasons in Michigan football history, right? And to do that with Aiden Hutchinson, you know, one of the teams, if not the team's best player this past year, it was really a special experience.
So with that in mind, how many hours would you say you logged as far as getting interviews and talking to all these people? Because it sounds like this is an insane amount of kind of material of information that you had to sift through.
Officially on the camera or on the mic for 22 total hours, and it's all going to be distilled into about 4 hours of work, 4.5 hours worth of content, which is insane to say out loud. It's a huge shout out to David Safaro, who is our director of communications, and a shout out to our video editing team that's put all this thing together. It's been a labor of love, right? It's been listening to an hour interview and pulling the best 10 minutes of it, right? It's been listening to, you know, countless interviews with players and highlighting the best moments and blending all that audio together and putting together a really cool story on what's going to be, I think, you know, the number one overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft.
So obviously that means you learned a lot. And one of those things that because I think the thing about Aiden being so consistent, it the first thing that makes me think is, What can we learn in 4 hours outside of the consistency? So certainly you've learned a lot. What makes this such a gripping 4-hour tale that you're telling here?
I think it really is just a rare human being. It's a rare support system from his family. It's rare to see a player just prioritize every step of the way his own success and achieve it, right? I think it's a testament to goal setting. It's a testament to prioritizing your mental health. It's maximizing your potential and how it happens, right? It happens through the support, you know, the unwielding support of his family. It happens through the unwielding support of that Michigan staff and just the opportunity he kept on chasing and just the expectations for himself. I just don't think his family, or coaches were ever satisfied. He was, you know, starting as a true freshman and not burning a redshirt year, he still wasn't satisfied. Having the success he did against Tristan Wirfs, a future Super Bowl winning offensive tackle, wasn't satisfied. Breaks his ankle, could make the decision to go to the NFL draft, comes back to beat Ohio State. And that, in my opinion, is just, again, someone that's just not going to be stopped. You know, you have that story about him going into Coach Ben Herbert, the strength and conditioning coach, and saying, "Ring me out. I want you to maximize my potential." And I think he wants everyone to ring him out every step of the way, whether he's doing an ad read or working in something off the field or doing anything he can. I think it's crazy to see someone that just expects so much of themselves and still has the means to like achieve such high end goals.
Now, what is your favorite part of like being in the production process? Obviously, we know we're going to learn a lot about Aiden through what you actually release, but what was your favorite part about this actual process and putting this entire thing together?
It's the conversations, man. It's the conversations we have off the mic. It's the conversations I have off camera with his mom and his dad and his sisters and him. I've learned so much about him, and you know, he's such a special person. And I think, you know, there's, you know, the NFL does a really good job of gamifying a lot of this, right? Who's going to be number one overall, and it's names and it's players, but to get to know the human beings involved in his journey and him himself, I think has been really special to me. And I think that not every single special moment will make the podcast, but it was a really lasting experience to learn as much as I have from his coaches, from his teammates, from him, from his mom and all these people. So to get to be a part of that, right? I wouldn't even say drive it or anything, but just to be a part of it, a fly on the wall for some of it, really was special. And I think, you know, it's stuff that I'll probably never forget.
Now, the correct answer was the half hour with me, which obviously you were wrong with everything you just said. I'm looking forward to watching a half hour of me and 3.5 hours of everyone else. It's going to be really awesome. No, Austin, thank you so much. Tell everyone where they can find Hutch, the Pro Football Focus PFF podcast that comes out Wednesday, April 13th.
Wednesday, April 13th, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify. It's also going to be on PFF's YouTube channel and broadcasted live on PFF's Twitter. You won't be able to miss it. If you're looking for it on Wednesday, you'll find it. It's going to be a spectacular event that we are all looking forward to.
Awesome, man. Well, I am super, very much looking forward to checking it out. We'll see if I sit down and digest it all at once, if I have to take it in bite-sized pieces. But certainly there's going to be people that want to just sit there and binge and do all that. So super excited to check it out. Thanks for coming on and talking about it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Absolutely. Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, director of content. Super excited to have him back on. Super excited to check out Hutch. It is going to be something to behold. 4 hours of Aiden Hutchinson material. So pretty cool. I'm glad that I got to take a part in it. It's going to be really exciting. All right. So we are going to move on, but before we do, let's talk a little bit about Built Bar. Cause you know, y'all know how much I love Built Bar. I've made it certainly a part of my dietary routine. And the great thing about it is delicious. If you don't know what Built Bar is, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I tend to have one and then go and have another one cause they're that good. And, the great thing is, I have actually put my money where my mouth is. It's that good. So this isn't just like they send me stuff and I'm like, hey, try it. No, I go and buy at least a box a month. I have bought probably, I'd say 25 or 30 boxes at this point. I don't even know. But anyway, do like me, go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. That's built.com, promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your next order of Built Bar. All right, let's continue on. So what I figure we'll do is we're going to continue through I have to pull it back up just so I have I can do it here. I've been doing a situation here where I'm power ranking every position player that's like from every position here. I did not state that great, but nonetheless, that is what I'm doing. So far I've gone on Wolverine's Wire and I've ranked the corners. I've ranked the quarterbacks. I mean, I have them all ranked in general. I've got a whole list of guys. Hopefully I'm not really missing anybody. I'm sure I am. We're going to discuss why I ranked everyone where I ranked them. So we'll start with the corners and then we'll end with the quarterbacks. That's just going to be what we do. And then we'll continue on as I release more. We'll continue posting more of those. Certainly we'll get more into depth charts and all those things that I've already done. As far as things that I've written, we'll get into what I kind of feel and why I kind of feel it here as we move forward. But first, I ranked 6 corners total. And I didn't, certainly there's more that I could have ranked, you know, I could have, you know, and with like safeties, for instance, I could have put like some guys like Cody Jones, who could have been in with the corners, could have been in with the safeties. I didn't really include him, even though he very well could be in there. So it really is just kind of the known commodities as much as possible, as to not really delve into just starting to get like some key randoms here and there. At number six, and this is really unfortunate when you consider he's a fourth-year guy, I believe, right? Fourth year. Jalen Perry. I mean, he is a four-star from Dacula, Georgia. Obviously, you'd like him to be, like, ready to come in and really turn that page, turn that corner. And it just doesn't seem like it has for him at this juncture. You know, certainly there's fall camp. Certainly the lights can turn on. I saw guys out working outside of Schembechler Hall while I was taking Zuri for her walk earlier today. So you never know. Guys do come out of nowhere. Guys do, especially when they realize, hey, this is my last go. You know, sometimes guys really come out of nowhere, and sometimes guys are Adrian Nunez, where they just kind of are like, okay, this is just the fate that I've been relegated to. So I'm just going to go ahead and ride it out. You know, that's just how it goes. Jalen Perry, unfortunately, at number six. Number five, and certainly could be higher than this, but the only reason he isn't is because more so of the people ahead of him. And this is a surprise. This is a guy who, in entering his fifth year, really kind of seemed, or I believe it's his fifth, maybe it's the sixth. I don't really remember. I think it's his fifth. That it really just seemed to have the lights kind of turn on. And that's German Green, who had been a safety for quite some time. He started to play corner, I think, last year. I'm not 100 on that. But he played a lot of corner in the spring game. And, I mean, he was out there making pass breakups. He's out there running with guys. He really actually showed something. He looked like a viable cornerback. Didn't look too much unlike his brother, to be honest. So that is certainly a plus. And he certainly could, I think, make a move for some playing time this year. Obviously, we'll have to hold off some other guys that will be coming to campus. And, you know, I could have included Miles Pollard here. I didn't want to put him seventh at this juncture, for instance, but like guys like German Green will have to fight off a guy like Miles Pollard, who's just got his feet wet for the first time, just played in front of probably the biggest crowd he's ever played in front of. And you take what like a true freshman like that does with a grain of salt to some degree. That said, here's another true freshman. The next one, number four in my countdown here, is Will Johnson. Same type of thing applies, right, in the sense of he looked pretty good with what we saw. He is a true freshman. He still is going to require a little bit of time before he actually is, you know, reaches that potential. I know there's a lot of people out there that say, well, five-star, he's going to start right away. That's not always or necessarily the case. You have to keep in mind that certainly there's people that are ahead of him on the depth chart. It's going to take him a little bit of time to acclimate. You really, especially at corner, don't necessarily want in game one to be like, all right, there it is. Maybe it would work fine, you know, this year, just because of what the schedule is. But I mean, even in, granted, 2016, there was, you know, a threesome ahead of LaVert Hill and David Long. But, you know, you didn't want to throw those guys to the fire. Same thing with Will Johnson. Certainly, he will be number one atop this depth chart before his career is done. And certainly, just based off of what he has as a skill set and his capability, he certainly could be a first-round draft pick. He has that type of body, has that type of athleticism. He's amazing at man coverage, all of the things that you want. So it's just a matter of him just getting acclimated. It's just a process, you know. It's very rare that you see corners come in their true freshman year, especially in spring ball, and suddenly look like world beaters. So he'll get there, just a matter of time. Number three, and this one was a point of contention. I reached out to a colleague and I was like, what do you think here? And I had him at number two. He said, switch the two and three. And so that's what I did. Jamon Green at number three, which, I mean, that's a little disappointing in the sense of, you know, he was the guy at the end of 2020. I know that's not saying a lot, but I mean, he had an almost perfect game against Penn State. And he was just kind of like, okay, last year. He was very good, but not anything to be like, yeah, that's the, you don't want to throw against this guy. So that's just kind of where he stands right now after spring. He's not the one that everyone's looking at the moment, but you hope that he takes that Vincent Gray type move to the next level once fall camp comes and season comes. And certainly there's plenty of time, right? And really not going to get tested that much, the entirety of the secondary. I mean, they might get tested against some of those teams, but honestly, I mean, like, it's a failure if they're getting really truly tested against those first three teams on the schedule. Maryland certainly is the game in which you want to have everything kind of going full tilt. With that in mind, number two, Mike Sainris still. He is doing that well, I have been told, behind the scenes and everything that when we, obviously we saw a little bit of in the spring game. He is doing that well in his position. Now, granted, he's probably going to be more of a nickel rather than being a being the type of guy who's going to be on the outside. But we saw him on the outside in the spring game, and he looked really good, really in guys' hip pockets, making moves, frustrating guys. It's a real situation. And I hate to buy into that. I know we've talked about that quite a bit because, you know, I'll remember forever Ben Mason playing three tech and what a disaster that ended up being. But you know what? Jim Harbaugh has a track record of switching guys over. He did it with Richard Sherman, who was a right wide receiver as well before he became a star corner at Stanford and then in the NFL. And Mike Sainris still was a corner, after all, in high school. So number one goes to DJ Turner, hearing just really good things. Steve Klingscale did say he wants to see more consistency. He's starting to see that. But, I mean, I think he is just an absolute star player. He's long been that, but he's just had people ahead of him for quite some time. So excited to see where DJ Turner ends up as far as that's concerned. All right. So that is going to do it for segment two. We are going to talk quarterbacks here in a moment, and we've got five that we're going to rank. But before we do, betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, let's continue on, finish out here on this Tuesday. Wednesday, the hope. I'm not going to say what the hope is. I have goals for Wednesday. They just have not been solidified, but we'll see what we can do. But hopefully we'll have two guests. Let me just say it that way. And then we'll move into the mailbag on Thursday. Fridays are kind of been haphazard for me due to some other engagements, but we'll try to get four or five in this week. But yeah, that's all I got to say about that. Anyway, all right, quarterback. So got five guys. I didn't include guys like Jesse Madden. I didn't include some of those others that are walk-ons and such, but. I didn't include Jaden Dennegal. We didn't really get to see him in the spring game. So, we did get to see our number five, which is a true freshman in Alex Orji. And I think that, that's, again, that's not a knock on him. I mean, he's a true freshman. He looked pretty good at times and, certainly looks like he can be a linebacker playing quarterback, be one of those guys where it's like, yeah, good luck trying to tackle him. We'll have to see if it, you know, if he works better than. He doesn't have the same exact skill set as Joe Milton, but I'm sure there's people who have a little PTSD from that type of mentality. But I think I could see him getting some playing time in year one because he provides a different type of running style than J.J. McCarthy, right? J.J. is more fast and elusive, and Orji still has speed, but he also could run over you. So it'll be interesting to see if with Dan Villari gone, if there will be some packages for Alex Orji. It just seems like that's the type of thing that we could see. We saw a bunch of different types of passes, people who were, you know, in, you know, not normally passers getting that opportunity in the last couple weeks of last year, and as well as in the spring game. And I could see a situation where maybe you have like both JJ McCarthy and Alex Orji in the backfield. And then it's like, could hand off to Alex Orji. He could, you know, and then he could throw it or he could run it. All of those things. Never mind Zuri, if you can hear her barking, if I can't erase that in post. Number four, and this one's kind of disappointing. It's Alan Bowman. I thought he had a pretty good showing in the spring game, but at the same time, with the fact that he is not higher up on the depth chart after being a three-year starter. Granted, he didn't play all 3 years, but being a guy who was started over the course of 3 years at Texas Tech and Air Raid, had some really good throws, but and certainly it feels like, okay, if something happens, he, you know, he could come in and he could lead the offense. But, you know, for the sake of last year at this time, I was predicting he was going to win the starting job, and this is where he's at, fourth on the depth chart for me. That's not encouraging. But I do know that there were some mechanical things that kind of held him back last year, according to a person that you all know, who's no longer with the program. So take your wild guesses at who I was talking to there. They had said, like, yeah, this is something that we're going to have to monitor. Is his mechanics and try to fix some of the mechanical things. I don't know if that played a part in maybe some regression or what. But yeah, he's number four. Number three, it should be no surprise, is Davis Warren, redshirt freshman, kind of out of nowhere. Wonderful story, overcoming leukemia, coming in as a walk-on, and really looking like a scholarship quarterback. Really kind of seems like he could be a starting quarterback at maybe like a high-level MAC, mid level power five, right? I mean, he's ahead of Alan Bowman, in my opinion, who was a starter at a mid-level power five program. And it seems like Davis Warren could be that type of guy. Would not be surprised if, like, he stuck around for a couple years and then got that opportunity to go somewhere else and be a starter. Kind of like what we, you know, see with Dan Villari going and competing for the Syracuse job. But great story. He looked great in the spring game, looked really, really incredible. And I think that people would probably feel comfortable with him as the starter based off of that performance. He usually is one of them out there, and it seemed like he was that guy. So kudos to him. Number two, this is where you people are going to have to, you know, you're going to have your points of contention. My number two is JJ McCarthy, but that's because, you know, we haven't seen him throw all spring. You know, he hasn't thrown all spring. Could he be number one by the end of fall camp? Absolutely. Could he be the number one by the, you know, by the end of the season? Absolutely. But he's going to remain number two behind the obvious number one, the Ohio State beating Big Ten championship starting quarterback, Cade McNamara, who I know did not look great in the spring game, but you know, it doesn't really matter, right? Like, we've seen what Cade McNamara can do with the components he has. It isn't like Wilton Spate going into 2017, rather, where he had like a whole new offensive line and all new receivers, right? This is a completely different situation. He's got basically everyone returning, and it wasn't the greatest spring game, but it's okay. And I know there's probably people really upset about it. I don't think they should be. But that's it for the quarterbacks. We will continue on with the rest of the whole everything. So anyway, thank you for watching and or listening. We will be back on Wednesday, hopefully with guests. If not, we'll do something else. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.